Hello, and welcome to another episode of Snark Squad Pod, the media podcast where we've been chosen to pay our taxes. My name is Marines.
I'm Nicole Sweeney.
And I'm Rincy.
Rincy is our special guest this week, and she is a booktuber and a book reviewer, among other things that I'm sure that she does. And she's here because this week we are talking about a book. We are talking about Bonfire by Kristen Ritter. And so to welcome our guest on this week's episode, I'm going to ask Rincy to, in fact, give us a little bit of a summary about this book and what it was about.
Yeah, so Bonfire is basically like a thriller book by Kristen Ritter. Kristen Ritter is an actress. Most people probably know her from Jessica Jones at this point. And so in this book, you're following this character named Abby Williams, who grew up in this small town in Indiana. She ends up moving away and becoming like a really, you know, really successful environmental lawyer in Chicago. And she gets tasked with this case to investigate this corporation that basically runs her small town at this point. They're like the one main major business in the city that she grew up in. And so she heads back to her small town after being away for years and basically avoiding it and all of the people that live there. So she heads down there with one of her friends and a cast of people from her law firm to help her out. And she's basically just thrown back into this small town lifestyle. She's forced to confront like all of these people that she grew up with, especially people that she like went to school with, and she had like a sort of a terrible high school experience and things like that. And she's forced to investigate a corporation that employs the vast majority of the people in the town. But as she's investigating, it turns out that there might be more going on. There is a girl who was like a really popular girl, but it was like sort of like a popular mean girl situation. The girls in that mean girl group ended up disappearing, I believe, when they were in high school. And it was sort of this like everyone just thought she ran away. But it turns out there might be something more going on there. It's just a mystery investigating the corporation and what's really going on in this town.
That was a much more thorough summary than we have given in the past. So thank you for that. Sincerely,
years of talking on BookTube have made me very good at book summaries.
It's great because I was like, I'm going to ask Rincy to give the summary. Like, we're going to totally catch her off guard. And you were like, here's the entire summary. Bam. Well done.
Yep. A plus.
So on that beautiful note of what that book was about, I think I'm going to start for you guys with a very baseline question, which will probably throw us into the deep end once again. But did you like this book overall?
It always starts out as such an innocent question. Just start right with a softball. Did you like this?
I mean, I really did. I read this book over the course of like two sittings because I like started it and was completely pulled in from the very beginning. So overall, I will say overall, yes. I have quibbles with it, but overall, yes.
I struggled with it. I wanted to like it more than I did. I feel like my overall experience with it was consistently wanting it to be just a little bit better. And I think some of the things that I disliked about it weren't even that anything was inherently terrible, but I was just so distracted by this sense that if you just nudged it a little bit further, it would have been much better. So it was okay.
I probably liked it the least out of the three. I didn't think it was terrible and it wasn't completely unenjoyable, but I was very distracted by the writing and I couldn't enjoy the rest of the story because of that. And I didn't want to stop reading it at any point. I found it very compelling and readable, but at the end of the day, it wasn't an experience that I would necessarily call enjoyable.
I think that makes sense. Like I said, I had quibbles with it. I think it's very possible that I probably went into this with the lowest expectations possible because I read this almost immediately after it came out. And there was like relatively like no, I mean, people were excited about it because it's Kristen Ritter, so it's a name. But I had not heard anything about it. And so I went in thinking that this book was going to suck because I had no good experiences with non-writers writing books unless they had a co-author. I think I went in with really low expectations. And the fact that I found it so readable was so surprising to me. But I felt like, but this is one of those books where I feel like it feels more like a pitch to a movie or a TV show than a book.
Yes. To that end, there is a lot of like there. It's not a thing that anything that I disliked about it was that it was just overall deeply intrinsically flawed. I feel like there's a very clear plot, like the progression it has, very clear beats. There are just a number of ways in which the story was told that it just could have done those things better and more effectively in ways that didn't actually have to change the plot. Like, you could have the same basic architecture of the story, but like all of her weird drunken haze sections, like I hated that stuff. It felt like she was hand waving over portions of the plot when, even though those portions of the plot were there, like the story was still there. She had all of it, but it was just, it made it, that fact made it all the more frustrating, too, because I was like, this is the sort of thing that you do when you are just trying to gloss over some piece of the story that you just don't want to have to resolve. And so I don't know why you're doing this to me. I don't know why you're introducing this weird, like, I don't know, man, I was just really drunk. And so some stuff happened. But anyway, now back to the story.
I included this as something that I wanted to talk about as well, because I think one of my least favorite parts of the story were her flashbacks, and not because I felt like they were unnecessary or they didn't add. They were actually pretty compelling to see, you know, how she started in this small town and the progression and how the past and the present were kind of mixing in this story. But she did something with the writing that I truly dislike, and it's that she has these flashbacks that feel completely unanchored in time. And she'll do things, she'll use a phrase like, I remember once doing this, but once is not a clear time frame. Why that memory? Where is it in time? Why are you bringing it now? And it occurred to me about halfway through the story that this would be something that would be a sudden and jerky flashback in a TV show or in a movie, where you could visually see that they were thrown into this flashback, but it wasn't coming across in the writing. And so when you said that this really seemed like something you could see on TV or see in a movie, I completely agree with that. And I think in a lot of ways she didn't correct her writing for it being a written story and not something we were seeing.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And part of me, when I was reading this book originally, part of me was wondering how much of it was the writing style and how much of it was meant to be the fact that Abby is supposed to be sort of this drunken, unreliable narrator. Because I feel part of me when I was reading it felt like, oh, the reason why these things don't really make sense is because like memories in general don't really make sense all the time. And you can't necessarily pinpoint things all the time, and you can't necessarily remember all the details very well, or the details you do remember might not necessarily be correct. And so I don't know if I was just being too generous with my reading or if it was like purposefully done.
I think also on that note, this is a thing that we keep bringing up week after week, is just kind of personal baggage and sort of general story gripes that I, you know, we kind of actively have prior feelings about. And her use of Abby's unreliability and kind of the way in which she wove the flashbacks in and out was the kind of thing that felt, I was constantly aware of how she was actively withholding or revealing information, rather than just being, I'm going through the story and it's happening and unfolding in a way that feels natural. They were deployed far too, I guess, heavy-handed. I'm not sure if I'm articulating this quite right, but I was too aware of the fact that, like, okay, now I'm getting half a piece of information, and I know that this is only half a piece of information, and I'll get the other half later, and later this is going to be twisted in some way. And I don't know. It made me too aware of the storytelling in a way that was not a positive experience for me.
I think that's super valid, and that entire idea of every story manipulates its reader. Every story that we watch is manipulating in some way. But it's when you feel manipulated that you don't enjoy the experience as much. I think it's that idea of seeing the puppet strings.
Yes.
You don't want to see that. You don't want to see what is going on behind the scenes. You want to enjoy or get lost in it. And I think when you have a flashback, you are throwing your story into reverse, basically. You're stopping and you're taking us back to something that has already happened. And I think she used the flashbacks too frequently and with not enough grace or transition that I really did feel like that constant back and forth of being jarred into the past and the present. So I totally agree with that point as well.
That being said, I again did not hate this book. There were definitely things to enjoy, and I wanted to keep reading it, and I was invested in, I guess, figuring out what happened with this mystery. And I don't know how much of that is successfully told mystery or just like, I always need to know what's in the box, but as a person, but like, you know, I definitely found it, as Rinsu said, very readable.
How did you feel about the mystery thriller aspect of it, Rinsu?
Yeah, I found it to be pretty compelling too, obviously. Like I said, I read it in two sittings just because I really wanted to know what was going to happen. And even as a mystery, like I read a lot of mysteries and thrillers, and I felt like this one has an interesting ending to it without giving anything away. I feel like the way everything resolves was in a way that I didn't expect, even though like she does follow some tropes or some patterns. But in the end, I was still like relatively surprised by everything that happened without, you know, obviously getting too much into spoilers.
Yeah. It's interesting, too, because I feel like it was clear who was bad. Like that was telegraphed very aggressively from the beginning. But like the sort of the particulars of the way that everything played out in the end, I did not anticipate that that was where this was going.
I'll agree with that, because I was going to say, I feel like we knew who the bad guys were right away, and not necessarily because of any behavior. I feel like almost everybody is portrayed in like the shady small town backwoods way, but I just didn't feel like we had enough of a cast of characters, significant characters, where we could have had multiple suspects. There were just basically two people involved, and I think they were the two most prominent characters besides our main character. So from that aspect, I was kind of very easily able to pinpoint who was going to be bad, but how it all shook out, that was better handled.
Well, there was a fourth rather major character who potentially could have also been bad, but like I think he was portrayed so sympathetically from the very beginning, and even the one sort of attempt to paint him as a potential villain was handled in this way that made it pretty clear that this was that there's some big misunderstanding that will be revealed later.
What character?
Condor? Dave?
The one with the kid.
The one with the kid, yes. Yeah, so she has two. She comes to town, and she almost immediately has two sort of romantic entanglements. Brent was a popular guy who went to school with her, and Dave Condor, she always refers to him by his last name, was a couple years older than her, and also, yeah, gets the sort of shady character thing early on. And then about midway through the book, it's revealed that he had some involvement with this girl who had photographs taken of her. Illicit photographs were taken of her, and then she committed suicide after they were released. And it is suggested that he basically was responsible for that. But when she confronts him, there's not really any confrontation. It's just, did you do this? And he is just like, yeah. And that's it. And it was just very weird. It was a very weird scene. And it did not read to me as, even at that moment, I was like, it was clear that that was not the end of that, you know, that like we would be revisiting this.
I didn't believe for one second that he was bad at all. I mean, he's the single dad with the kid and the kid has like a hula hoop. It was like everything meant to gear you towards having sympathy for this guy. And it's like, oh, come on. He's a single dad and the kid has a hula hoop. Of course he didn't do anything wrong.
He's got a dark past.
That's how I felt about
that. He's got a dark past.
I know. Okay. So we talked about some things that we've liked and disliked, but more specifically, what would you say, Rincey, was your favorite thing that this book did?
Okay. So this is going to be super specific to me. I have a very strong feeling because I feel like this is such a side plot, but I really like everything with Abby and her dad.
Ooh.
Oh.
Like, yeah. I felt like it's such a... It's not a small, like, it's a part of the story, but I felt like the way that she handled, like, that weird, complicated relationship that you can have with a parent sometimes, and, like, the responsibility you feel, especially as they get older, and especially if they're, like, living on their own after a certain point, like, that complicated feeling that you get in, like, your 20s, 30s, where you're like, oh, crap. What do I do in this situation? Like, she doesn't want to be in this small town, but she also knows that her dad is living by himself and his, like, health is deteriorating. So, like, that whole situation, like, I found that to be so well done. And that's just probably my own personal baggage coming into play here. But I thought that was so interesting and, like, not a thing I expected in, like, a mystery thriller.
Yeah. Yeah. And also the fact that they had such a very complicated background, you know, like, that he was bad, abusive father for, you know, much of her childhood. She had actual reasons to, you know, feel weird about this, and just everything about that, even up to when he dies, just her wrestling with that and what that means. And I agree. That was a really, I would not have thought of that as the answer to that question, but, like, legitimately, yes, that was a very, very well done component of the story.
I think to build off of that, my favorite part probably was everything that had to do with the small town and Abby coming back to the small town. I didn't get a lot out of the mystery portion of it. Not that it was, you know, terrible. I really enjoyed kind of the more idea of her coming back and having to deal with the memories as they pertain to, like, anybody has memories of high school or hard times. And just this idea that she has a hard time thinking about her father and how he's changed, and that he could have changed from the father that she knew growing up, and that he could be sorry for certain things. And there's this idea that you're playing with that, you know, hey, maybe people change. And then by the end of the story, you find out who the bad guys are and what they've done. And they've been doing it since high school. And it's kind of like, maybe people don't change. So I like that there was both of those aspects to her story, that in some ways the small town was not what she remembered, but in some ways it was exactly as she remembered.
Yeah. The small town feeling was very successfully communicated here. I am always unclear on how much I am mentally projecting and filling in when I say that, when I'm like, yep, this feels like a small town. Like, how much of that is just me having lived in a small town in the Midwest, being able to fill in those any sort of gaps. But I definitely did feel like it was well and convincingly portrayed and communicated.
What was your favorite part?
Possibly that. I wouldn't have said this. I now think that her relationship with her dad, but that's now my favorite part.
Thanks, Rincey.
Before that, I probably would have said the mystery. I liked that dynamic. And I think that it could have been better. I think that there are ways that she could have built it better. And I definitely think that this could have been a fantastic movie, possibly will be, I don't know, whatever. But I liked what was there. The basic concept of the mystery, I think, was very good, if maybe not executed as well as it could have been.
Rincey, you mentioned that you, despite liking it overall, you had a few quibbles with the story. So what were some of your least favorite things that this book did?
I mean, I think it's a little bit of part of, like, what we talked about earlier in terms of, like, it's very clear from the beginning, like, who the good guys and bad guys are. Not that there's, like, really a clear good guy in this situation, because Abby obviously has her own problems that she deals with and makes her own mistakes. But yeah, like, from the beginning, I was like, okay, these people are very clearly not good people. Like, I think it would have been interesting, like, as she's researching this corporation and all this stuff, if it had turned out that, like, maybe someone in there wasn't necessarily completely evil. Like, I felt like there was no situation where it was going to turn out where like someone who was evil turned out to be okay. Like we were saying earlier, it was just like the how that was the surprise, and sort of like all of these extra details that come in from the side that you don't really see coming. That was really surprising. I think it would have been slightly more interesting if there was slightly more complexity to some of these characters, and maybe, or add in a couple of other characters who at least would have thrown you off the scent a little bit. Because in most mysteries, at least you have a couple of different people that you consider suspects. And in this one, it didn't really feel like that. It was more just like figuring out their reasoning behind their evil doings.
Yeah, she could have introduced more of... There were a few other characters that were mentioned kind of casually as players in the whole thing that could have been worked in sooner and still, or not sooner, that could have been worked in more. Like we could have gotten to know them a little bit in some capacity and still even had the same total number of people who are bad. Like there were a few other people that had dealings with Optimal in some way or another that are clearly not great people that could have maybe been worked into the story more to either build up the sense of scale with this conspiracy, which clearly it is a very large scale conspiracy, but ultimately we really just had two villains and like very small scale in terms of who is actually doing the bad things. And so maybe introducing more of those other characters might have helped that a little bit. I don't know.
I probably struggled the most with the writing, just the writing style itself. I started putting sticky notes and highlighting in my book stupid lines from the beginning.
Way to read a book.
And yep, that's stupid. That is stupid. But it wasn't like necessarily all awful. It's definitely not the worst thing I ever read, but it just felt very debut-ish and it felt very tropey in some ways. I mean, in the first few pages, she's introducing us to this town and there are like crows for setting the mood. And I was like, really? Like literal crows to set the mood. And then, one of the stupid lines that I highlighted. Patterns are like the truth. They'll set you free, but first they'll give you a bitch of a migraine. And it was just things like that I was just like, I don't know. It was kind of cheesy and a little... I could hear the like Jessica Jones voiceover with like the gravel in it. And it wasn't my favorite thing to read. It wasn't my favorite style.
I will say we talked about this very early on in my experience of reading this book. I don't really do a lot of audiobooks, but I started reading this and I was like, I'm pretty sure I would like this a lot more if Kristen Ritter was reading it to me. And like, it would be the same story, but I just feel like... I feel like if we introduce more Kristen Ritter, I'd be like, oh, yeah, it's Jessica Jones telling me this story. OK, I'm here for this.
Yeah. When I was reading this book, I 100% imagined it as Kristen Ritter's voice from Jessica Jones in my head. That was 100% of what I was imagining. And I think that was also done on purpose because I think, again, this is a book that's, if it isn't already, it's being pitched to studios with Kristen Ritter starring in it. Like, this is 100% a book that is like meant to be a adaptation of some sort starring Kristen Ritter or someone who is exactly like Kristen Ritter.
And to be clear, I'm going to watch that adaptation.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. 100%. And I feel like it'll probably be better. Like, back to Rinzi's original point that, like, it feels like pitched towards that and that there are a number of things you were saying about the flashbacks that, like, things that could be ironed out and are just better suited for that medium.
Yeah, when I was reading this book, I completely imagined it being sort of like a Netflix miniseries or just any sort of miniseries. And like, I just kept thinking about how great it would be to be able to explore sort of like these small town people and like that whole aspect even more, because like I feel like this is a relatively short book, in my opinion. Like, it's less than 300 pages. And I feel like there's so much more that could have been expanded on in this story that would make it so much richer.
Agreed. And I think that ties back to what we've been saying about like the lack of suspects and just this entire idea of not having that piece or portion of it really developed to the point where you weren't sure who did what or that there was any kind of mystery to who did it, even though we weren't sure what exactly happened. And part of that, like the hand wavy, like, oh, see, don't pay attention to anything over here, kind of shuffling you along the story. I think if it had a little bit more room, or if it was in a different medium, like say a Netflix miniseries, those things would definitely be better than they were in the book.
Yes.
We talked a little bit about hearing Kristen Ritter's voice as we were reading. So I'm curious about how you felt about the main character, whether you liked her as a main character or if you saw any of that idea of like Kristen Ritter, Jessica Jones reflected in the main character as well.
Yeah, I was basically imagining Jessica Jones in my head the whole time. I'm not like there's like because she has like even the same problems of like alcoholism and like blacking out and making like poor
choices.
She's
wearing a fucking leather jacket in Indiana in the summer at the beginning of the book. That was one of my first grievances. What are you doing? You're from this town. You know, anybody who has ever been in a Midwestern summer knows that you're heading into a fucking swamp. Like, no, no, you don't wear a leather jacket. Yeah, she was Jessica Jones.
Yeah, and part of me is also wondering, like, I don't know exactly when Kristen Ritter wrote this show, but I feel like she was writing this while on the set of Jessica Jones, like, because, or like while she was reading the scripts or something, because it feels like that was the only thing that she had in her head. Because, like, I've seen Kristen Ritter in lots of other things, and she has like quite the range, and so like it isn't like she can only play Jessica Jones, and that's the only type of character that she knows. So I didn't really understand, unless she was just sort of like banking on the fact that Jessica Jones is a hit. So I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of reasons why she could have just been really interested in telling the story. But also, yeah, this character is very, very Jessica Jones. I liked the character for the first half of the book, again, because it was just basically just Jessica Jones. But I felt like she was there, right? Like I didn't feel like I had to be entirely filling in for myself that she was this very Jessica Jones-like character. In the back half of the book, where all of the drinking scenes started to get more aggressive, and I guess also maybe she's being poisoned, I don't know, whatever. I'm unclear. I'm still slightly unclear about that. But regardless, she, in the back half of the book, the hazy drinking scenes, which I already said that I hated. I'm going to repeat it again that I hated it. As that stuff got more aggressive, I felt like Abby became less real and became less there. And some of that, I guess, is sort of intentional and that like, oh, because she's just spiraling out of control. But it didn't even feel like, oh, here's this real character who was spiraling out of control. It just felt like the story was sort of it felt like the main character was just sort of drifting and ceasing to be a proper anchor into the story.
We always like to talk about different media that reminds us of the thing that we consume. So for me, in this, it was The Girl on the Train, which was a book that was adapted into a movie that dealt with a mystery thriller as well, in which her cycles of alcoholism also cause her to black out and lose memories. And so she's a very unreliable narrator because of that. And I didn't love that book either. I enjoyed reading it, and I really enjoyed talking about it, because to me, in The Girl on the Train, the cycles of alcoholism were a theme and a plot point in and of themselves. It was a larger commentary about this woman's life and how she was living. In Bonfire, that haziness where you're like, oh, she's an alcoholic, or what's going on? She's losing time. And then at the end where it's like, oh, yeah, blah, blah, and maybe poisoning. You're like, wait, wait, hold on. So she was being poisoned this whole time, and that's why she was losing time. Like, am I understanding that correctly? But then that like just added piece of information makes the entire idea that she's blacking out and losing time feel much less concrete to me in the story. I don't know. I really didn't like the part that it played. And because I've seen it done elsewhere and in a better way where it was actual commentary about alcoholism and losing chunks of time, here it really, really annoyed me. And in turn, I took that out on Abby. I just stopped enjoying her as a character at that point where I was like, okay, she's making bad choices. I don't understand why she's like losing these chunks of time. And it just got worse and worse from there.
Well, yeah, especially in light of how much the conspiracy grows as the story goes on. The amount of drinking that she is doing late in the game when it's clear that there's some like high stakes bad shit happening was just frustratingly stupid. Like, in this way where it's just like, you are clearly endangering yourself right now. And why? But in this way that it doesn't feel like the story is having this commentary or anything like that. Just, I don't know. Yeah, just utter thoughtlessness. And that was frustrating.
See, I saw it more as the conspiracy is growing, but you simultaneously see Abby sort of losing control. Like, I felt like I was starting to question whether or not there was like a real conspiracy or if like they were actually a part of it. And like, part of me thought that in the end, it was all going to be like innocent. Like, part of me thought like Kristen Ritter might be setting us up to think that it's all in Abby's head, like Abby's just losing her mind sort of situation. Obviously, it doesn't go that way, but I think that's why I was okay with it in the story, like as it was happening, because I didn't know which direction it was going to go in the end. I didn't know if it was going to be like, no, Abby just has problems. Like, Abby is unstable. Abby doesn't, like, when she's put around these people from her past, and obviously, like, she's had bad things happen in her past, so maybe that's what's setting her off, and it's just putting her down this bad path that makes her unable to see what's really happening in front of her. Obviously, that's not the path it went down, but that's why, like, in my head, I was okay with it when I was reading it, is because I was just like, which way? And again, I think it's because, like, I read a lot of these types of books, so I've seen it go multiple ways, and I didn't know necessarily which way it was going to go this time.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I did not personally come away with it from that, but that makes sense as a possible reason to have done it that way.
Yeah.
I don't think Kristen Ritter played those notes long enough for me to really start questioning if Abby was making it all up or losing control. There were moments where you were like, oh my gosh. I think one especially is when they find Casey supposedly, and he's like, the friend Joe is like, Casey called, by the way, and you're like, oh snap. Like, she's going nuts. Like, this is all, like, she is really losing control. But then it gets resolved so quickly, at least in her mind. She's almost immediately certain that something else is going on. I think because she doesn't question herself as much or for as long. I was always pretty sure and pretty confident that this was going to be a straight lace. Somebody bad did it. So I don't know if what, you know, I brought to the story where I wasn't buying that other end of it, but that definitely, I see where it existed in the plot, where you're supposed to be questioning how her, like, you're supposed to be questioning her narration and whether it's reliable or not. But I don't know. I was always pretty solidly, this is going to be a evil person kind of mystery.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Like, I completely agree that, like, the things that you're bringing up are, like, legitimate problems to have with this story. Because, like, yeah, like I said, this is a relatively short book. And I feel like she sort of flies past a lot of things that should have been fleshed out a lot more.
I think that is a very succinct summary of basically all of that. That was my issue with this book, basically. Just throughout, there are a number of things where, like, it's there. I just need you to take a little bit more time right here and, you know, whatever, and to really get that all the way home. What did you guys think about the sort of larger, I don't know, social commentary, I guess, elements of the story?
I think that might sum it up.
Sound effects only.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's just one of those things where it's like she touches on a lot of stuff. And I don't think any of it goes as deep as it possibly could have, which is disappointing. Outside of the larger commentary of like, do people change or do they stay the same? Like, I think that's probably like the best well done sort of idea that's thrown into this book. But things, and I think like, because like she brings up things like abuse, and I feel like the way she covers it, it's basically just like abuse happens. Like, and there isn't much more that's expanded on in terms of like how people deal with it, or, and you see a little bit if, in terms of like a trickle effect, but again, it's always just like you see a little bit.
None of the victims of the abuse are really given any voice here.
Yes.
Like they don't, we don't really hear from them at all. We sort of hear from KC by way of Abby's sort of weird interpretations of Casey's behavior, Abby's ever-shifting interpretations, but even that is like a very sorry stand-in for, and Casey is not really, Casey's a different category. We don't ever hear from any of the, like, the girls who are photographed and who, whatever, like, those girls are not, they don't get to have a voice here, and that seems like a shame. When she's trying to make this big commentary about this happening and whatnot, to not ever let those girls have a voice makes that feel a little hollow.
And we keep going back to the fact that this was a very short book, and it probably, to be fair, I think it crammed a lot into that short time period. A lot of those things that we're talking about now, like the commentary that, I mean, she brings in not only like the girls being photographed in the high school and the mean girls aspect of it, but there's like an evil corporation, there's lead poisoning, you've got two love interests at one point, she's a lawyer, she's investigating, she's got her whole dad thing. So there is a lot crammed in here that could possibly have used more pages. But to be completely honest, if this were 400 pages versus less than 300, I'm not sure that I would have kept reading. I feel like I would have probably felt a lot more negative toward it, but because it was over so quickly and it was just kind of like, okay, yeah, done, I still had a somewhat positive experience with it. So it goes both ways for me. I feel like the story probably could have used more time, but because of the writing, I'm not sure that I would have been willing to give it those extra pages.
That's fair.
The only other thing that I wanted to ask you about was the romance-y aspects of it, or the little, I mean, she had two love interests kind of at one point. How did you guys feel about that?
I found it eye-rolly just because I felt like it was very obvious what was happening. Like, it's the very clearly she's dating the person who's not for her, and then there's this other guy who would be a much better candidate who she like just sort of like teases in various ways. And it just felt like, so that felt like the most stereotypical part to me.
That part was also frustrating too, because the only degree to which she tried to be secretive about who the real villains were relied on Abby basically not being as smart as Abby is otherwise meant to be, right? Like, the idea that she accepts Brent as being sincere and not trying to manipulate her so easily when she's otherwise supposed to be this very smart character, that also bothered me a little bit.
Anytime that she is with Brent and they're kissing, it's described in the most like creepy way. She's always like, he left me cold. And like and it's clearly not something she's into or wanting to do, but she keeps doing it. And I feel like I can infer why, especially with a lot of like her trauma in high school and kind of wanting to fit in now. And she clams up a lot around these people because of what happened in high school. But while that is alluded to, I don't think there was enough there for us to really understand why this otherwise very smart girl was continually putting her in the situation where she's getting like cold, creepy kisses. So I didn't like that at all.
Yep.
Yeah. Whenever I read romances like this, I always want to ask, like, do people really get that hung up on their high school crushes? Because, like, that's sort of, like, what you're thinking in the beginning is going on is, like, you think, like, oh, she just had this sort of, like, weird thing happen in high school. And so she's, like, still wants to be the popular girl. Like, is this a real thing people feel?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, from experience, no. Yeah. I look back at my high school crushes and I'm like, ew, why?
That's what I always say. I'm like, we should all look back at our high school crushes and be glad that we've grown so much as human beings.
Right?
Yes, correct. We've all moved on with our lives, become other people. And yeah.
Would you read another book by Kristen Ritter?
Yes.
Yes.
If this were not a debut, I would judge it more harshly than I currently am. But the fact that it's a debut, to me, I feel like there is enough there that I would absolutely read another attempt by her.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I thought that this was a pretty strong debut. Like, you can see that she has, like, good bones in her writing. And again, I feel like if she is willing to grow as a writer, I mean, it's very possible. Like, a lot of people completely flunk out when it comes to their second book, but I would definitely give her another try.
What about you?
Yeah, I probably am the one who enjoyed it the least. I still would read something else by Kristen Ritter, obviously. And when the Netflix miniseries comes along, I'm going to watch that too.
We didn't get obviously. To. The Kristen Ritter is just great, is the actual thing here.
Yeah, I think that really comes down to it too. I mean, if she was a garbage human being, maybe not so much. But
right. Do you have, Nicole, do you have any other things that you would want to, like, say this reminded you of?
Oh. Mm.
Mainly, I want to talk about how this gave me Erin Brockovich feels.
Oh.
Oh, interesting.
Did you nobody get that? I really felt like this was very Erin Brockovich-y if she had, like, high school trauma. Because the entire idea of, like, the poisoning in the water and her going around to interview people and them not wanting to come out and say it, that was, like, the entire premise of that movie.
Now that you say it, yes. But no, because this was Jessica Jones. And Jessica Jones is not Pretty Woman. They're very different people. I don't know. I just, yeah. That sort of core character, the protagonist being different in that way, makes it harder for me to tie those two things. And I probably would not have made that connection on my own, even though now that you say it, it is glaringly obvious.
Yeah, I never would have thought of that either. I think it's just because, like, this feels so much darker than Erin Brockovich. So, like, I feel like in my head, those two don't necessarily, like, meet together until, like, now that you're like, yes, very clearly small town poisoning, like, it makes sense.
The whole time I was like, Erin Brockovich with Jessica Jones.
I will say, and again, this might just be because Kristen Ritter in my head is connected to this, but it also gave me Veronica Mars feels. But again, I think that also has to do with, like, the stuff that happens later on in the plot too, with the photographs and things like that. Like, it felt very reminiscent of, like, college years Veronica Mars when, like, think something similar happens. Well, not exactly, but, like,
the Hearst rape arcs and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a book called The Fever by Megan Abbott that she goes into this idea of hysteria. And the book is all about a group of girls in high school who start getting sick. And people don't know if it's real or if it's a real sickness or if it's all something that these girls are making up, which that is part of the plot in Bonfire. And the book is, I gave it, I think, 4 stars. So it's not super amazing, but the commentary all about, she ties in a lot of that idea of hysteria and this sickness that we don't know exactly what it is to sexuality in high school and this idea of close-knit girlfriends. And I thought the commentary that she puts into that book, The Fever, it was really interesting. And it reminded me a lot of that whole arc about, were these girls getting sick or were they faking it? Which you learn at the end that probably both are true.
On that note, I guess we are done now. If you read this book, and have any thoughts about it that you would like to share with us, or if you want to suggest something else for us to read or watch or otherwise talk about, you can find us at snarksquad.com or on Twitter at snark_squad. I am at Sweeney Says.
You can find me at My Name is Marines.
And I am at Rincy A.
Thank you, Rincy, for being with us this week. And thanks to everybody else for listening. We will be back here next week. Bye.
Bye.